This episode is brought to you by RCN Capital. With the current state of the real estate market, there has never been a better time to start offering investor financing. RCN Capital, the leading nationwide lender for real estate investors, has you covered with both short-term fix and flips and long-term DSCR financing solutions for your investor clients. Visit rcncapital.com/aimbroker and get started today. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Broker to Broker podcast. My name is Mark Summers. I'm the president of AIM, also a mortgage broker here in the great mitten state of Michigan. But today I am really excited. This is going to be, I'm already calling my shot here. This is going to be a must listen. Like you, like I'm going to pump this one more than I ever have, because I'm telling you, the individual that we have here today is obviously taking time out of his day to help us. We all know him. We all love him. So right now I want to welcome the CEO of Mortgage Nerds, the one and only Mike Cox. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to our little interview here, having some fun.
Absolutely. So I'm going to give you my little brief description of Mike. Mike is part of our member leadership team. He's phenomenal. He really, really hammers down education. And I know we'll talk about that a little bit, but everything you see on the education side of what AIM does within reason, all the content, a lot of it comes from Mike and his direction. So if you ever get a chance, thank him. He's one of the most approachable people, and I'm just glad he's part of the AIM team. So Mike, that's my thank you to you for everything that you do, but now it's all about you. So okay. Tell me how you got started in the business. Tell me, I know you got an interesting story, because a lot of these good stories are right around COVID too, but I'm going to let you take it away, but hit me with it.
I'm going to go look to actually got started, because a lot of people are like, hey, I want to get in the mortgage industry, right? So I started in February of 2000. I was managing a bar. And what I found also is a lot of good loan officers were in the service industry, because they know how to communicate with people and that kind of stuff. So in February 2000, I started in the mortgage industry, went to retail. And when I arrived, my mentor, or my boss, if you will, was in Vegas. So there was a phone book on my desk and a script. He said, just start calling on the phone book. I mean, this is 2000. There's way different regulations back then, right? I mean, there's one computer in the entire office, and we use fax. Right. So I know I don't look, you know, old, but, you know, I am. So anyway, so I would open up the phone book and say, hey, my marketing department gave me your name. And they said they might be interested in refinancing. They're like, oh, I'm renting. Oh, okay. Now, I literally for weeks just sat and called. I didn't know any better. You don't know what you don't know. And I knew nothing about mortgages. Back then, there was no tests or any of that kind of stuff. So I got into it, started getting my feet wet. We'll talk about this too, education. I messed up one of my first loans, which that was one of the best things that's ever happened to me, because I don't know, I think we all have insecurities, right? But like when I messed that up, it destroyed me. I'm like, I cannot let that happen. And it's a reputation killer. I mean, I was a week into the business, that kind of stuff. So I got into it because somebody I knew thought I was a social person and it would be good in sales. Got into it within, I think it was 4 months. I didn't have any money at the time. I was broke. You know, I mean, I was bartending and that kind of stuff. And I happened to have a line of credit in my house. So I lived off my line of credit in my house. And for the first, you know, 3 or 4 months, within 4 months, I was the top producer. And what I ended up doing was around the time of that was FHA and Nehemiah. If anybody knows what Nehemiah is, it's free down payment money.
Yes. Right?
And so I created all these signs that says no money. This house qualifies for no money down. Do you? And I started putting them in houses with realtors and stuff. And then I started a free for sale by owner company, started putting those out there, started getting so many leads. That's what launched my career, got me into the business.
Okay. So that's how you got in the business. When did you become a mortgage broker? What's that chain of events?
All right. So, I was 20 years, same company. I was in retail for 20 years, same company, all different divisions. That's important to know, because inside retail, there's so many different divisions and stuff, and I was in a lot of them, so I know a lot about retail, right? Our 4 year anniversary was just a couple months ago, so 4 years.
Congrats.
Appreciate it. So we did that, and we came over as broker, and when we did that, because of the 20-year relationship I had with the retail company, I mean, the owners were my friends. One of the owners stood up at my wedding, all that. What I did, and we had a team of 12 people, I called, told them that I was thinking about moving. You know, he wanted me to stay, offered some stuff. And I'm just like, no, it just can't do it. I mean, one of the biggest things was VA rates were just ridiculous. And we're serving the VA community. So we had to do that. What I did, though, is I said, I gave my notice. And I said, listen, I don't have an LLC. I don't have my license. I don't have anything. I'm letting you know I'm leaving. Come get all your stuff, whatever you want. But here's what I would like. And because I handle it that way, I'm like, I couldn't write a loan. I couldn't steal a loan from them if I wanted to, because I was trying to respect the relationship. And so because of that, we had a great departure, still friends with them today. Half their company works here now, but
that's a different story.
It's a mute point. I just wanted to be respectful of the relationship. I think a lot of people leave in malicious ways and do some things that they shouldn't do. I mean, to each their own. But that worked out really well for us. And then it took us, you know, 30, 45 days to get up and running. And then we did that, and then COVID hit. So that was cool.
Okay, so here we go. So you're living off your home. You're living off a line of credit.
Oh,
that was before, but...
That was before, by the way. So when I became... So the reason I mentioned that is because I'm a firm believer in believing in myself, right? Like, I don't care if anybody believes me or whatever. I am a firm believer in me, my work. I'll try to outwork anybody or whatever, right? So within 4 months, I paid off that. I had racked up $12,000 because I had a house and, you know, other payments and stuff. I paid it all off in 1 month. So then I knew, and then I was off to the races.
Well, yeah, you kind of stole my thunder there, because what I was going to say is you bet on yourself right away. I mean, you were living off your house when you first made the transition. Now you just dropped retail and you hop into this because you have confidence in yourself. And I want to know your thought process, because you do this, you're now a broker. And what is it, 60 days within your transition, COVID hits?
Yeah.
So what was your mindset at that time? Because we, on a lot of these podcasts, we've been talking a lot about mindset, because right now I think it needs to be stronger than ever for people. You know what I mean? And I want to know your mindset, because I know a lot of people would probably turn around, go back to your friend that you left and say, okay, I'm back, you know, but yeah, you didn't, and you pushed forward. So tell me what was that like?
So we have an office building, and, you know, everybody's coming to the office. I refuse to stop. So we were allowed to, because we were whatever they called it, an essential employee, so you could come, but everybody else stayed home. I came here. We're still, like, you gotta understand, we just started, and it took me a while to get licensed and stuff. We only had a few lenders. Our process was not defined. I'm used to retail, like, right, that experience versus broker, completely different systems, appraisal ordering, all the nuances that actually happen. We were figuring it out. Brian Huffman is my business partner. We're 50-50 in all this. He should be on this call, but he's camera shy. he's just a wizard when it comes to mortgages and any type, but specifically VA. He sat in his basement and just crushed loans and figured it out. And I just sat here and got licensed in more states and, you know, figured it out. Now, I will tell you what made it so much easier, the transition at the time. So I'm very much compliance and very analytical and that kind of stuff. So before I made the switch, I flew out to PA, and I talked to Anthony Casa and Evan Wade, went through all my numbers, and, like, they, you know, confirmed, yes, you're going to make way more money and win with your rates and that kind of stuff in the broker world. And then, so when I had a question, like, VA stuff, like, how do I get signed up for VA, or, you know, DU, you know, that's kind of clunky, all that kind of stuff, I had a resource to call, and they would guide me, and somebody would help me, which was instrumental for us, you know, to get going. And UWM was actually a really big help too. They help brokers a lot.
So yeah, they do a great job of it. You know, anything to promote the broker community, I'm all about. So now you have this company, Mortgage Nerds, which I love the name, but tell me about your setup with Mortgage Nerds. Like, what is your guys' scope right now? I know you're big into VA. So tell me about your company, your process, have at it.
Okay. So the way we're set up right now, 15 of us, 12 LOs, three processors. I got 13 people coming on in the next couple of weeks. That's different story. We switched models and stuff like that. We're a flat fee model. I believe in that as the future, but we have our own hybrid of it. But Brian has an LOA. So Brian's my partner and he has an LOA. He basically does half of our production right now and everybody else, you know, covers the rest. And so I'm a firm believer in the process. We also have processing division. So we process for other brokers, right? So very detailed as far as what should happen from the minute somebody's approved to the minute it closed, clear to close. I'll give you two examples, all right? So in processing, you could do, you could let the consumer know, hey, by the way, the appraisal came back great. No conditions. We're all set to go, we'll submit it to underwriting. We're good. Nothing wrong with that. Or you could say, hey, the appraisal looks good. There's no conditions. By the way, I love your kitchen floors. Okay.
Right.
It's the biggest purchase of their life. It just acknowledges to them that you're validating them on a huge purchase of theirs. And then like three or four different things like that throughout the process that just make them feel really good. And when you can make somebody feel good, it creates an emotion. And when it creates an emotion, it helps remember you. Because my biggest thing is somebody say, I got a mortgage. And I'm like, oh, who's your loan officer? And I'm like, I don't remember. That's the worst thing that could ever happen. Everybody should know who you are, right?
Right.
So we believe in the process. So we started the processing division. It's under the same company. And we're growing that. And that's going very well because there's not a lot of good processors out there that understand, that truly understand what it takes to make a loan officer look good and to how to handle a consumer, especially a consumer that maybe is upset about something, validating their concern. Like we have a process for everything. Brian took over all my relationships. He has his own relationships. We do a lot of VA loans. Those VA loans come from a couple of different opportunities. What we did is we met an individual who's a veteran, and we wanted to entrench ourselves in the VA community, but there's a lot of bad veteran organizations out there that don't, the money doesn't go actually to the veterans. And so this guy let me know about that. And so I'm like, hey, be our advocate. Come in and tell me where we should spend our time. Where we can help. I mean, between you and I, like we go buy a veteran a lawnmower or a grill or whatever, with a roofing company, put a new roof on a house for a veteran just on the down low because they needed help, right? So we ended up building him a podcast room in our office. So he's got it's called Frag Out Podcast. He's a veteran. He interviews other veterans. He introduced us to CVSOs, County Veteran Service Offices. We went there. We educated them. So a CVSO, their sole purpose is to educate the veterans in their county on all the resources, right? So we did a presentation and we asked them, well, if a veteran asked you this, what would they say? And then they would answer it. We're like, no, that's wrong. Actually, this is the right answer. And so and by the way, they're all veterans themselves. And then we're like, well, how many VA loans can you have? We're like, oh, one. Well, that's an absolute lie as well. In a perfect storm, you can have four or five. And they're like blown away. So instantly we earned their trust. This was 4 years ago. So we're the preferred lender in all of Wisconsin for CVSOs, County Veteran Service Officers. So we solved a problem from them. When a veteran calls them about a VA loan question, they just send them to us so we can answer it. We don't solicit. Like eventually they'll most likely work with us, but we just answer the question correctly. So the veteran isn't ending up at one of those lenders that way overcharges them or gives them bad advice, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're creating relationships. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, and it's a bigger mindset that people need to have. It's a lot of the stuff is not transactional. It can't be, it's gotta be relationship building. It's farming. It's doing a lot of different things.
Yep. And so we did a lot of loans. This happened 4 years ago, and this is when rates were in the twos. So we refinanced most of those CVSOs. They loved our process. Then we also teach in their community. So we went to La Crosse, taught a class pretty close to an Army base. Somebody at that class, it was a, also a realtor, but he was the one that gets people on Army bases to teach. And he, after the class, he's like, every veteran needs to watch or be at this class. He's like, I'm getting you on base. And he goes, well, we don't work with profit companies, so I don't know how to get you on there. I'm like, I happen to work for a nonprofit called AIM. And he's like, awesome. So I took all the branding off or whatever. And we teach at Fort McCoy Army Base here in Wisconsin. And we educate veterans and empower them how to make the right decisions using their VA home loan and how to build wealth. We compare a VA loan with a conventional loan. And we show them the difference and how they can build wealth using the correct loan and not being talked out of it. You know, so when a realtor starts to talk them out of it, or, you know, somebody else starts, oh, just go conventional, blah, 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 we tell them why and how it matters in the future. Like, and it's amazing to me how many veterans don't know what an IRL is, right?
Right.
You get talked out of a VA loan, all of a sudden, you know, you want to refinance and you got laid off, you can't do your IRL. Like, but we educate them and empower them so they know enough. They don't remember it all, but they know enough to go, oh, they're talking me out of VA loan. That means they don't know how to do it. I'm in the wrong spot. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So it's all about education and empowering people with the right information. And through that, you earn their trust and then you usually get their business.
I mean, and also just, you know, I mean, I'm probably speaking a little bit more for myself here. I think that's gotta be, when you can help a veteran, that's gotta be one of the most fulfilling things.
It is. I can tell you a lot of stories. The ones that stick out the most are the ones that get falsely turned down. I mean, we've had a veteran last year that he would just, they call and say, like, oh, this is my DTI. And this is, you know, what I'm like, oh, can't help you. Well, DTI does not matter on a VA loan. It's residual income, right? And then there's a bankruptcy thing, all that kind of stuff. We closed it 13 days, you know,
and oh, wow.
His wife was calling me and like, he was suicidal. He's because he thought he was going to lose his house. And like, this is how big of a deal it is when veterans, you know, get screwed over or get the wrong information. You know, it's a big deal for us to make sure that they have accurate information. Even if we don't close the loan, we've helped other lenders close loans before. But yes, it's very satisfying. We entrench ourselves in the community, though. We don't just do loans. We do events. I got an event coming up in a couple of weeks where we're there just help with the kids for all the veterans. With Nerf guns and that kind of stuff, wherever there's a need, we want to show up and help and get to know the right people, you know, and that's how you build relationships.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's really cool what you're doing, you know, and I know you can go on and on about it. I mean, but just the fact that you guys go buy the veteran a lawnmower, you know what I mean? Or just help people, like, that's what it's about. If, you know, this business itself can be so much more fulfilling if you take those next steps like you did.
Yep.
But if it's just transactional for you, it's just a business. You know what I mean? And it's not fun. It's not fulfilling. And you're doing it the right way.
Yeah. And so what happened is I couldn't make the trip to drop off the lawnmower. And we actually gave him a lawnmower and a pellet Traeger. And it turns out we had done a loan for him a couple of years earlier. We didn't know. We didn't even know the guy's name. We just knew he was in need. And Brian and Ryan, the veteran that was in here, told me the story, the complete story that he told them. And both of them were like very, very emotional, you know, it just makes that impact. And that's what we want to do.
Yep.
And here's the other thing too. I think we're the best choice for a consumer across the board, but also veterans. We're using what we know how to do to help veterans, right? But we also get in the room and identify other opportunities and just get your hands dirty. That's what I always thought. Get your hands dirty, get in there with everybody else, you know, and figure out where the help is needed and try to be a part of it.
That's awesome. And, you know, everyone listening, take that advice. Just get out and get your hands dirty. It's no one, if you're trying to do the right thing, no one's ever going to be mad at you, you know, so that's just the way it goes.
Be a part of your community. I mean, I love marketing. I always tell people that we're a marketing company that just happens to do mortgages very well. But when it comes to marketing, be part of your community. When you're giving away stuff, go get it from your local restaurant, build a relationship with them, you know, get a $50 gift card and then they're going to share it. Like, be part of the community and they get to know you. It's the best marketing you can ever do.
Well, speaking of marketing, that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. So if, you know, I don't know how well everyone knows Mike, but he's a big marketer. If you could see his backdrop, if you've ever been on a Zoom with him, phenomenal, you know, audio visual, but marketing, he's a wizard at it. And I wish you guys could see it, but he's got this person coming in and just, I don't know how you do it. But anyways, I mean, that's another podcast of how we can do all that, how you actually get that done. Yep. But marketing is a big thing for you, Mike. What's your take on marketing? Why is it so important to you? And then my next question is going to be, because I know you're going to wrap it all up together, which is what are the biggest mistakes you see current brokers are doing with their marketing?
Okay. So marketing for me is this. Fine, I can be the best VA lender out there. Nobody knows about me. What's the point? Right? I'm a firm believer in mastering mm-hmm. craft. Education is everything. But if you don't know how to get yourself out there and put yourself in the right arena to get noticed, to actually do loans, you're going to be out of business, right? So marketing needs to be your focus. And here's what I always did. I learned everything. I was really, really, I mean, for the last year, I pulled back because we're scaling now. But Facebook ads, lead generation, I love that. And you know what I do? I would go to realtors and teach that to them because I'm providing value. So if you right. want to go, if you want to work with a realtor, if you need to pick up a few realtors, find value. Maybe it's something you already know, you know, maybe it's something you need to learn. Go learn it, go teach it. That pulls them into your network. So for our realtors, we have a business meeting and we say, all right, what's our plan for this year? You know, that kind of stuff. But we try to fill the gaps where they're not good at, and most of them aren't good at videos or marketing right. and that kind of stuff. We do everything to stand out. So if anybody goes to Tenor, T-E-N-O-R, it is a app for gifts. We have a gift library, hundreds, I may say, maybe even say 1,000.
I would say over 1,000.
Yeah. So like it, whatever. So like congratulations or happy birthday or you're clear to close or appraisal waiver or, you know, let's do this or what, anything you can think of, you can comment in a unique way, either on Facebook or you can comment in a unique way to your consumer directly. And sometimes you can bring a realtor in, all that kind of stuff. And again, they remember you. They're like, you have your own gifts. That's awesome, right? It makes you stand out. My biggest thing I can tell you about when it comes to marketing is intentional effort. Besides gifts and doing different marketing and different strategies and all that kind of stuff, I'll tell you my one best marketing thing. Where did it go? Jason Glass will confirm. So, oh, that's right. It's a video. You can't tell.
That's okay. What do you got there?
This is a metal business card. Okay.
Yes. Jason gave me one of those. Those are amazing. Okay. So what he has right now for people that are obviously just listening, describe it. Go ahead, Mike. You can describe it.
It's a metal business card and it looks like a flag. And the back of it, it says our slogan for veterans is we love our vets every day. So it's not Memorial Day and Veterans Day where everybody celebrates veterans. We celebrate veterans every single day. So what happens is people hand out cards and, you know, we usually put ourselves in the VA community or even if we're not, everybody's, you know, let's say there's 10 lenders there or whatever, and everybody hands the cards. I just hand mine. I don't say a word. Every 100% of the time, whoever I gave it to, they look at me and go, this is the coolest card I've ever seen in my life. Why do you do this? I go, flip it over. And then it says, we love our vets every day. And I said, because I know that you won't throw this away. And I want you to know how much we care about our veterans. And if that you ever run across a veteran, they need to call us because we are the best option for a veteran, right? It's a strategic, intentional thought. So I don't have to wedge it into the conversation and go, oh, hey, you know, we do great at VA loans. They ask me, you know, I get the floor because they asked me just by, I mean, these cards aren't cheap, but they've gotten us tons of loans. People do not throw them away. But like stuff like that.
I agree with you because you mentioned him, Jason Glass. He gave me one of those cards and I'm like, this is so cool, but I'm not going to call him because I already have his number and I'm not going to him for a mortgage. But I told him, I'm like, I'm keeping this though. And I know exactly where it's at right now. I will not throw that thing away.
So we were at Fuse a couple years ago and I was handing those cards out and we were hanging around together and he's like, I cannot believe the reaction from people when you hand out that card. I'm like, he goes, 100% of the time, they always mention your card. I'm like, it's an opener, especially in the right environment, you know? And he's like, I got to get these. This is phenomenal. And he got his, and a lot of my LOs have theirs as well. And yeah, it's great. And
it works.
It works, but you have to be strategic. You can't just hand it to him and say, yeah, I don't throw it away. That's not the thing. Turn it, you know, have a message that goes like, we want to educate and empower veterans so they don't get screwed over by other lenders. Like, have a rhyme or reason for it, right? Like, I have a shirt that says I love VA loans, but also have one that says I love mortgages. And on the back, it says, don't be shy. Why? You can't just say, oh, because mortgages are great. Mortgages are the best tool you have to build wealth. Do you know any billionaires that don't have a ton of mortgages? You know, simple statement like that. You have to be able to react in a way that, you know, resonates with them when you do stuff like this.
No, that's amazing. I mean, and that's a tip right there. We'll try to post it or something like that. But at the same time, what are the biggest problems you see current brokers doing with their marketing? Besides, they don't do enough of it.
Well, consistency is number one. By far, it's not even a question. Consistently, people will do it for a little bit and then they get out of it, or videos. I had this problem in the past. So I started doing a daily video educating people on how to get the best deal on their mortgage like 15 years ago, like when Gary V wrote Crush It. So like, I got very used to just, this is what I look like, this is what I sound like. But when you first start doing video, you're like, oh, that looks like crap, I'm not going to use it. You got to get over that. Kyle Draper is a great coach to help you with some of that kind of stuff. Consistency is one thing. The nonsense, there's a couple things. I don't have the time. That's BS. Everybody's got time, and you can make them short videos, all that. Or I don't know what to say. You know what I tell people? Document your day. Somebody calls you, you're solving a problem on a loan, like, that's a video. Not everybody knows that. We all think that, you know how many videos I've done on you don't need 20% down? Probably 100, you know, because I just tell it a little bit differently and talk about it, you know, and people don't see that same, you know, like, oh, I did that video 2 months ago. Good, do it again, you know, and just do it differently. But people don't do it. And I'm a firm believer, you can tell, I got a flamethrower. When we do golf ball, or when we sponsor a golf outing, we have an AR golf ball launcher. I like to do crazy things to stand out, but it's strategic because everything has a backdrop with our name on it and stuff. So like, it's not enough intentional effort to think through all the different processes. That's what I would say.
Yeah, but you said it perfectly, and that's a perfect example right there of, you guys are a marketing company that just happens to do mortgages, because really that's what you do. You market yourself for the relationship, right?
Yep.
And then you later on is when you're going to get deals. And then that's even word of mouth. And then it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah. But I would say the bigger problem in marketing is the lack of in our community, and not just brokers, LOs across the country, the lack of education and knowledge on products. And it is just amazing to me how people don't take this seriously. I mean, honestly, that's the bigger problem than marketing. People should be educating themselves constantly, staying up on top of guidelines. People are getting turned down left and right when they shouldn't be. You know, that's one of the biggest problems that I see, honestly.
Okay, so let's go to the education side of things here, because technically that is marketing too, because when you get that knowledge, then you market your knowledge out. I mean, that's just the way it works. But education-wise, let's step in your shoes. How are you staying up to date on everything? How do you know some more rules that other people don't? I mean, do you sit in bed at night and just read guidelines? I don't think so. Maybe you do.
So 24 years of experience, but honestly, at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter, right? Because guidelines change all the freaking time. So Brian, my partner, writes half of the production. He sits right over there. You know, I'm pretty good. I look at every transaction as a puzzle, right? There's always typically a way that you can get it done. I have resources to ask. I've created groups, small text groups, where I can ask them or bounce ideas off them. obviously you want to be able to pull up, you know, guides and research guides and that kind of stuff, but it's repetition. I would highly suggest that if you're a new broker, I used to mentor brokers, and there was new brokers and they own their own shop. And I'm like, I told them straight up, you shouldn't own your own shop. I cannot mentor you. You need to work underneath somebody for 2 years and then I'd be happy to. And that's my honest opinion. Somebody that doesn't know to do a loan should not own a mortgage brokerage, 100%. And I stand by it. There's so many nuances that happen inside of a loan, or these are the ones giving EVA loans a bad name, right? Because they've screwed up and stuff. So really it's just, and then we have a weekly meeting where our entire team goes over different underwriting scenarios, how they overcame it, all that kind of stuff. Just, I'm in tune with the community. And by the way, BAB, sit in BAB and read all that stuff. You learn a ton there.
Right.
Right. And then it's not even that got, so I was at a CBSO event talking to two guys that work at the RLC, and their attitude towards VA home loans was like, what's the worst case scenario? Even if it's the wrong answer, of a veteran gets the home. Oh boy. So like there, a lot of people think that, you know, it's intimidating to call the RLC and that they're going to be, you know, so hard or whatever. More underwriters and more originators need to call the RLC and ask the finding questions to get clarifying answers so they can actually know if they can close that loan or not. You know what I mean? So it's just taking the effort, honestly. It's not that hard.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you. There's many different ways to get education. And, you know, I'm going to back you up on the Brokers Are Better Facebook group page. I mean, it's searchable. I always tell the story every time I'm speaking and we're talking about the Facebook group page. I always go back and say, I saw something come through Brokers Are Better, and it was about Schedule F income. I'm like, I've never touched one. I have no chance. Literally, I'm like 2 to 3 weeks later, I get a call. Hey, do you do farm income? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. But what did I do? I went back, typed it in the search, and there was a bunch of information in there. And it's real life, up-to-date information, not just that guideline BS. It's, hey, this is how you get things done.
And you can also, when you search, you can also search under posts you've already seen or haven't seen. So then you can click already seen because you already saw it, right? Then you can find it. And then you can message that broker. That's what I love about this community. I mean, people message me all the time, and I do too. Like, hey, which lender did you use? Because sometimes lenders have different interpretations of that as well. And that's one of the challenges in our world, right? But it's also one of the advantages. So absolutely, it's not that hard. It's intentional effort. And I have this thing. If you tell me no, I can't do something, then I'm guarantee I'm going to do it. Or if there's, you know, a loan, unless it's a, you know, 405 score, you know, but there's like, it's a hard scenario, like, it's a challenge for me, and I use all my connections until we figure it out. Brian, my partner, is the same way, and we just bounce it off people and come up with solutions. And that's how you learn. Surround yourself with people better than you, just like you do in life, right? There's VA experts all over BAB, you know, in whatever product it is, reach out to those people. They will help.
It's funny you say that. I just read something the other day. It says, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
100%.
Okay. So Mike, I got two more questions for you.
Okay.
This one is important, but the second one is the most important question of this entire podcast. But the first question is this.
Yep.
What piece of advice right now in today's market with what's going on out there? Some people struggling, some people growing. It's all over the map. I mean, we're dealing with higher interest rates. What is the one piece of advice you have for all brokers, whether they just stepped foot in the space now or they've been in it for 25 years?
So I would say learn to teach. And so here's the, many different ways to do this. So I'll just use our market. Well, there's Florida market too. So let's say there's not enough inventory, right? Most places, not enough inventory. Well, learn the FHA 203K or VA renovation loan. Learn PIP. We teach a class called Pitfalls of Mortgage Lending, and we go teach realtors the things that they don't know, especially about condos, you know, not to submit the condition report with the offer, or write, you know, per, you know, realtors do these stupid stuff. Get in that room and educate people. Find what's the problem. All right. Lack of inventory. All right. Let's work on one-time close or renovation and get in front of those people. But I mean, this is what I know and believe in. First-time homebuyer seminars. And when we do a first-time homebuyer seminar, we invite parents. Parents get a special gift. So we usually give a flat screen TV because they're like $10 now. And then we give a TV away for parents too. And when that happens, because parents are coming and going, well, I had to put 20% down. I'm like, well, in Wisconsin, we have a WIDA program. You know, you can put no money down and rates cheaper. And you earn the parents' trust. And when you earn the parents' trust, it automatically transfers to the kids, right? And then the parents are like, oh yeah, these guys know what they're doing, you know? And then you get all the other kids' loans as well. So learn to teach. It doesn't have to be complicated, whatever. Get yourself in the room. Solve a problem for somebody else. I guarantee you there's a real estate brokerage that has new real estate agents and they don't have time to teach them all the mortgage stuff, right? Go in there, be that person with no expectation of getting their business. It'll naturally happen through confidence and just answering their questions and being helpful.
Yeah. And a lot of people get nervous doing that just for the mere fact of they'll say, well, what if I don't know the answer? That's okay if you don't know the answer. Just let them know, listen, I have more resources than you can imagine. I will get that answer for you the moment I walk out of here.
Yeah. You need one line. That is a great question. That hasn't come up in a long time, but I'll have that to you by the end of the day. Nobody expects you to have all the questions. And the fact that you follow up with them and they can explain it, just like anything, he said, that is a great question. That hasn't come up in a long time. And guidelines change a lot. I'm gonna follow up with you on that one. Thanks for bringing that up.
Easy. Yep. Like, satisfying the whole nine.
Yep. You don't need to be insecure about not knowing something.
Right. Yep. Last question. Most importantly, I'm not going to say who submitted this question, but there's a question on the table.
Brendan McKay.
You have to answer it. I'm not saying anything. You have to answer this honestly. Are the cheese curds really that good in Wisconsin?
Okay, so they really are. Chris Griffith can verify this at Amplify once I brought them. I always bring cheese curds everywhere and put them out there. And the good cheese curds squeak when you eat them. Like I even have a video of like they really, really squeak. But here's the key. You don't go to a store, a grocery store, and buy cheese curds. Cheese curds in Wisconsin are made fresh every couple of days. You get them on the counter at a gas station. Those are the best cheese curds. So a little tip, there's a place called Cheese Hut. There's a couple of them. You go to a gas station on a Wednesday or a Friday and there's cheese curds sitting on the counter. You grab yourself some and you'll have a lovely snack. Yes.
So they are the best. Next time I'm in Wisconsin, I'm going to do it.
Well, hopefully it's soon, brother.
I'd love to come out. I need to visit you. But hey, Mike, listen, you've been amazing. This is great information. Like I said, I'm going to promote the crap out of this one. It's good. And I like the fact that you're always willing to share. You're always willing just to be there for people. I think you just love educating people however you can. And I'll say this from myself and AIM and on behalf of the broker community, thank you so much.
Thank you. Can I have one little plug?
Please go.
So my favorite book in the world when it comes to work is called Chop Wood, Carry Water. I have a whole stack over here because there's like 50 brokers that said they wanted it, so I'm sending it to them. Chop Wood, Carry Water, Fall in Love with the Process of Being Great. This really talks about the difference between knowing how to doing something and doing something and the small little details that make the biggest difference in the world. You can see how skinny it is. This book will change your life if you read it. And apply it to your business, your mortgage or real estate business. And the other one is Rethink Everything. Kyle Draper is an amazing guy. I wrote a book, a chapter.
You wrote a chapter in there, didn't you? Sorry, I didn't get to that.
Yep, on education. So, but there's so many brokers originators in here with so much good information. Highly suggest Rethink Everything. You know about Next Generation Officer by Kyle Draper and Brian View. So. Check those
perfect
out.
Well, get that. We'll make sure we throw links in there so if people want to go buy them, they can. Mike, once again, thank you so much. You're the best, dude. That's all I gotta say.
Right back at you, Mark. I appreciate you.
Thanks. So brokers, if you want to get caught up on all of our past podcast episodes, please head over to aimgroup.com/broker-to-broker. You can also listen to all the Broker to Broker podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google, anywhere else you can download podcasts. Just do me a favor, download it, leave a review. It helps us get the podcast out there and spread the word that brokers are better. And there's probably no one better than this guy. So if you get to meet him, make sure you go talk to him. He'll give you all the time in the world. Sorry, Mike, I'm spending your time on your behalf, but you're just one of the best out there. And I just want to thank you and thank you for doing the podcast today.